This is BBC News. The headlines at midnight. The BBC stands by its decision not to broadcast a charity appeal for Gaza.
BBC probably regards its duty as reflecting government policy.
Almost the whole of the political establishment in this country supports Israel.
Today, the BBC regularly receives complaints of bias, but nowhere is its news output more hotly criticised than over its coverage from one major news zone, Palestine. Jodie McIntyre is a popular campaigner against government's cuts to education. Last year, he was pulled from his wheelchair by police on a demonstration, but it was the aggressive questioning he received during a BBC interview which drew nationwide outrage.
Well, I think it's clear, not only from my interview, but from the BBC's coverage in general, that they have a very clear agenda of how they want to portray these issues, and more often than not, their agenda involves towing the government line. We are rebelling against the government, and forces loyal to the government are attacking us when we are unarmed. But the BBC would never ever report it in that way.
This month, two events have brought the BBC's coverage of the Middle East under close scrutiny, and not for the first time. More bad news from Israel is the culmination of research into the British media's coverage of the situation in Israel and Palestine. The BBC comes under particular criticism. At the same time, footage has emerged of the word Palestine being removed from a BBC music show. In Focus meets the academics, journalists and politicians asking the question, is the BBC biased towards Israel? And if so, is that due to internal agendas or external pressures? John Pilger launched the report More Bad News from Israel in London. The veteran reporter on the Middle East is scathing about the BBC's ability, even its willingness, to produce impartial news from the region.
I think what the bad news books have done has introduced absolutely searing shafts of truth into the whole debate. That's a BBC word, debate. It's not a debate. It's understanding the machinations of great powers and the great injustice in the Middle East.
After the book launch, I met Greg Filo, co-author of the report. His research found that the BBC's insistence on balance meant creating a false equivalence of military might, something Arab Media Watch and the Palestine Solidarity Campaign also find the BBC at fault over. In your book, More Bad News from Israel, a lot of the questions about the way that the British public perceives questions on Palestine, you focus on the BBC. In your findings, did it become clear to you that the BBC has a way of creating misconceptions about Palestine?
The BBC is the biggest, most powerful, most extensive broadcasting organisation in Britain. So we focused on that because we were looking particularly at what people understood. We were engaged in a study which compared the content of television, particularly television news, with what people eventually understood. And what we found was that the image that people were given of television news, in television news, of Palestine and of things like the attack on Gaza, for example, or the attack on the Mavi Marmara, gives a highly structured, very limited view, which tends to be simply the view of the Israelis.
PSC members are demanding answers from the BBC over its coverage of military action by Israel.
The Today programme on BBC Radio 4 is supposed to be the programme that sets the political agenda for the day, and it's viewed as such by news organisations and also by politicians. So it has this, you know, special responsibility to be impartial in what it broadcasts, you know, to be accurate as well. And yet, when it comes to the subject of Palestine, it just constantly takes this Israeli viewpoint and explains things from the point of view of Israel, how things affect Israel. For instance, the unity agreement between Hamas and Fatah recently, hugely important for the Palestinians, an internal Palestinian political issue. And, you know, and it was Palestinian youth who helped to bring it about as well with the End the Division campaign. And yet when the BBC reported on it, their point of view was just, what does this mean for Israel? And they took a very negative view on it.
In 2006, an independent panel appointed by the BBC governors assessed impartiality in coverage of the Israel-Palestine conflict. The commission confirmed many of the Philo Berry criticisms that BBC output does not consistently give a full and fair account of the conflict.
The main problem is that there is no recognition of the huge imbalance in power between this massive nuclear-armed military machine in Israel and the Palestinians that have suffered 60 years of oppression crammed into this little space in Gaza. And if you don't recognize that power imbalance, if you treat the two sides as though they're like, you know, Manchester City and Manchester United playing football on a Saturday, we're impartial, we stand back, we don't take sides, then you miss some key aspects of that story.
It's actually ignored its own recommendations made in a report which it commissioned to look into bias in terms of reporting on Israel and Palestine. And this report, the Thomas Report, was published in 2006. And it said, you know, because the BBC wasn't placing the situation in context, it was misleading its audience. And the report also said, you know, what the BBC was ignoring in its quest for balance, because the BBC says it has to be balanced on this issue, that there actually is no balance. This report said you have one side which is the occupier, which is Israel, and you have another side which is wholly occupied, and, you know, and that is Palestine, and this should be reflected in the BBC's reporting, you know, and therefore, you know, you can't imply any kind of balance because there is no balance. So none of these recommendations seem to have been put into place since 2006. It's been 5 years now, and the BBC's reporting has just carried on the same.
During Israel's Operation Cast Lead, the BBC took a controversial decision that would lead to nationwide outrage and protest. Executives refused to transmit the Disasters Emergency Committee's appeal.
I'm here to meet Tony Benn, former British MP, who in 2009 represented tens of thousands of the British public who were outraged at the BBC's refusal to air a Gazan humanitarian appeal.
1,330 people have been killed, 460 children, 5,480 casualties, and the reason the BBC have done it is very simple. The Israeli government objected.
It was an indication of the hostility the BBC has shown towards the Palestinians. And this goes right back to the Balfour Declaration, when Britain committed itself to a home for the Jews, and then the Suez War and so on. And British government policy has been more friendly towards Israel, and the BBC has reflected that view. And I think also Israel puts enormous pressure on the BBC, and that was one of the reasons why they didn't broadcast the appeal.
Director General of the BBC, Mark Thompson, refused to allow it to be broadcast on the grounds that he didn't think it was appropriate. I don't quite know who he is to decide what is appropriate or not. We had a very stormy meeting with him in Parliament, in which I said to him, this is unprecedented, it's absolutely outrageous, you must broadcast an appeal by the Disasters Emergency Committee. It's a conglomeration of all the well-known charities, Save a Children Fund, Oxfam, and so on. He said, no, it's not unprecedented. And I was very surprised, and I said, well, where's the precedent? And he said, oh, Lebanon in 2006. So I said, well, I think that rather proves my point.
By the time the UK's other terrestrial channels broadcast the two-minute Gaza appeal, the BBC had received more than 15,000 complaints.
The chair of Arab Media Watch has written more reports into the BBC's coverage of the Middle East than any other news channel. I'm going to meet Sharif Nashashibi to find out whether he thinks the BBC is impartial on issues relating to the Arab world.
I think generally the BBC's coverage has tended to, their biggest failing is giving the Israeli narrative more prominence than the Palestinian narrative. And this is just not just our findings. The impartiality review that they commissioned some years ago came out with the same findings, that, you know, the Palestinian narrative was not being given enough airtime, enough text space, Palestinian deaths were not given as much reportage as Israeli deaths. So this is the general failing of the BBC.
The Glasgow University Media Group found that during the 2009 Israeli attack on Gaza, the BBC devoted more than 420 lines of text to the Israeli explanation for the bombardment, yet just 24 lines of text made any reference to the fact that the Israeli military occupies Palestinian territories or that Gaza is under Israeli siege.
The BBC is sympathetic to Israel, that's what I'm really saying. And when Hamas won the election that took place in Palestine, it was immediately dismissed by the BBC. And so there have been a number of examples that come to mind. And so what interested me about the Gaza war was that it mobilized a lot of British public opinion in support of the Palestinians against what the Israelis had done. And at that moment, the BBC then decided to come out on the Israeli side.
Just months later, another scandal would engulf the BBC, this time relating to the Israeli military's assault on the civilian vessel the Mavi Marmara as it attempted to deliver aid to the Gaza Strip.
There was no context given as to why this flotilla needed to sail to Gaza. The humanitarian crisis in Gaza was dismissed right at the beginning by Jane Corbyn, who said they have enough food, they have enough medicine, there's nothing going on here. Israel's three-week all-out assault on Gaza in 2008-2009 wasn't mentioned at all, you know, and yet that was something that motivated people hugely into going, you know, joining the flotilla.
The attack of the Mavi Marmara, for example, but right from the beginning, Channel 4 was indicating a rather different account of the origins of it, of how the attack had taken place, suggesting that the Israelis had attacked first. All kinds of things like this were quite different, really, from the BBC. The BBC adopted the Israeli narrative overall, and it's quite clear that if you look at the language used by Channel 4, I mean, they used the phrase, the Israelis went on board guns blazing, you know, so there was no... That was completely different from the way in which the BBC had handled it.
It was made out as if what had happened and the fact that nine of their members had died was entirely their fault. You know, so again, it was blaming the victims for what happened to them. And that's very much the BBC stance as well towards Palestinians. You know, what happens to the Palestinians is their fault. They bring Israeli, it's always called retaliation or response. They bring it upon themselves. There's no context given for what's going on in the West Bank, in Gaza. You know, people watching the BBC don't realise how all of this started. And the BBC makes no attempt to explain that. And that way of reporting was transferred over to Death in the Med.
The BBC Trust received 19 appeals against the documentary Death in the Med, raising 51 substantive points for consideration. Its Standards Committee upheld three, two in relation to accuracy and one on impartiality. Weeks later, in December 2010, a song was recorded for a late-night hip-hop show to be broadcast on the radio channel BBC One Extra. By the time it was rebroadcast as part of a best-of show on the 30th of April this year, an edit had taken place.
This ain't changing me, I still have the same beliefs. I can scream free Palestine, die for my pride, still pray for peace, still burn a...
They're incredibly angry at this. They're people who are used to seeing bias against Palestine by the BBC. And yet no one's ever seen anything like this, to actually censor a song, censor a word. And the BBC have written back to us and they've said what was being expressed was a political viewpoint and it was controversial, and the BBC has a responsibility to be impartial. You know, so what are they, you know, there's many things they're saying here. They're saying that, you know, as far as they're concerned, you can't express political viewpoints through art, even though art has been used as a medium to express political viewpoints for centuries. And equally, throughout centuries, censors have tried to stop that happening. So is the BBC upholding, you know, the age-old tradition of censors here?
Some music we make for the shelves, but this music, dark, we make for ourselves. And it's for you, from our hearts, so you know we mean it.
British artists have now joined the outcry over what has been called the extraordinary censorship of rapper Mike Righteous. So the question must now be asked, what is the nature of the BBC's relationship with Israel?
The BBC's news output is under phenomenal scrutiny from the Israeli government. I think that people monitor it, certain lobby groups. They monitor every sentence and every word that's uttered. So as a result of that, you've got a huge sensitivity. You know, you've got people, both management, program editors, and the correspondents themselves, constantly thinking, you know, what, how do I phrase this? What do I say here? Am I being impartial as defined by the BBC? So you tend to find this kind of reporting that everybody's walking on eggshells, which means that the reporting at the end of the day often is influenced by this, because people don't want to offend people. They don't want to cause trouble. People don't want to trigger a flood of complaints. So I think they sometimes err through self-censorship on not criticising the Israelis and the Israeli government in as fulsome a way as they might otherwise.
In November 2005, the Director General Mark Thompson travelled with his wife to Israel, where he held direct talks with Ariel Sharon. These were, it was reported at the time, intended to build bridges between the BBC and the Israeli government.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to downplay the visit and the timing of the visit. But, you know, this came just after, you know, the Israelis kicked up a real stink about the documentary on Israel's nuclear weapons. They were furious about that. They started banning BBC journalists from covering stories there. And the visit followed after that. So, I mean, really, to say that the timing was coincidence or that there was nothing in it, I just don't buy it.
Thompson's visit to Israel was followed by the controversial reposting of the BBC's Middle East correspondent Orla Guerin just days later. Ariel Sharon had, according to reports, never hidden his intense dislike of Guerin or the BBC's reporting of the Middle East. Suspicions arose that the two events, Thompson's visit to Israel and Guerin's departure, were linked.
My big issue is a disparity in time that, you know, it obviously showed that Ariel Sharon was a bigger priority for Mark Thompson than Mahmoud Abbas. Obviously so, because the way that the BBC has located its bureaus in the region, they're more dependent on Israeli acceptance and accreditation and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't think the seeing Ariel Sharon himself was an issue, but if you look at the timing and the events that followed beforehand, and the fact that he just didn't spend as much time with the Palestinians, it is cause for concern.
As far as I know, his job is to manage and lead the BBC. Obviously, that includes world coverage, includes global coverage, but the idea you build up relations with governments, the point of the BBC reporting is that it is independent, that it is objective, that it is informative. That is what the Charter is about, and that's what has developed the BBC's reputation as being an effective global broadcaster. And I think this is continuously undermined by the way in which the Middle East is reported.
It has been revealed that the BBC Trust has spent £700,000 defending its journalism. One issue is believed to have incurred more legal expense than any other: the BBC's reporting of the Israeli occupation. BBC journalists talk of pressure not to risk annoying the Zionist lobby.
A very intensive debate then developed in the coffee area. And I was with the editor of Newsnight and an editor from the main evening BBC One News. And the Newsnight editor said, oh, it can't be as bad as Greg's saying. And the man from BBC One said, It's worse, he said. You, and he looked at me and said, you were too easy on them. And he said, and these were the words he spoke to me. He said, we wait in fear for the telephone call from the Israelis.
There is pressure on the BBC from probably Mark Thompson, who seems to me to have an agenda in this respect. There seems to be a great deal of pressure on the BBC from the Israeli government and the Israeli embassy, and they are very assertive towards all journalists and the BBC itself. They challenge every single thing on reporting the whole time. I think there is a bias towards saying that Israel is a democracy in the Middle East, Israel has a right to exist, Israel has its security concerns.
We asked Mark Thompson to explain the BBC's decision not to air the Gaza appeal and to censor the word Palestine from a freestyle performance. We got this email from the BBC press office.
All BBC programmes have a responsibility to be impartial when dealing with controversial subjects, and an edit was made to Mike Righteous' freestyle to ensure that impartiality was maintained. We did not edit out the word Palestine. Referencing Palestine is fine, but implying that it is not free is the contentious issue. This does not mean the BBC was giving an opinion on the Palestinian issue, simply that it was not appropriate to include the contentious statement in question.
Implying it is not free. Oh, God, all right, okay. That's interesting, because what he is saying is that it is contentious to suggest that Palestine is not free. And that's an extraordinary thing for the BBC to say, because I don't think even the Israelis would claim that they don't have troops in the Palestinian areas. I don't think, I mean, even the Israelis would not, they don't deny that they have occupying forces there. I mean, Sharon actually used the words occupying territories. On the occupation, he used the words. And I don't think, it's extraordinary, because what seems to be happening here is that the BBC have put themselves in a position which is somewhat to the right of the Israelis, actually, haven't they? It's like, it would be like describing the apartheid regime and saying, well, we know that the South Africans call it apartheid, but we're not, because we don't actually, it's contentious to suggest that black people have less power than white people in South Africa or something.
Yeah, so I must ask the question, why is the BBC continually twisting itself in knots and taking an increasingly illogical stance, one that the Israelis wouldn't even take on this question? Why?
I think they are just intensely nervous of the political pressure, the commercial pressures, and the fact that they are in a situation where the almost the whole of the political establishment in this country supports Israel.
I suppose the BBC probably regards its duty as reflecting government policy, and in general that's what they've done, although they claim to be impartial on controversial questions. I think it has changed over the years and is not what it was set up to be or what people want it to be. Well, I do understand that particularly the policy the BBC has adopted towards Israel, support for Israel, has switched off a lot of public support in the Middle East and the Arab world, the Muslim world. And that's a tragedy, because the BBC has had in the past a very high reputation for impartiality and fair reporting. And now I'm afraid, because of their attitude to Israel, it's lost some of that.
Recent controversies, including the broadcast of Death in the Med and the censoring of the word Palestine from a music programme, have affected the BBC's reputation for impartiality. The question for executives here in White City is, do they accept that Zionist pressure is affecting the BBC's coverage of news from Palestine?